And now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it at Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. And Mike Babcock with us from Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports at MD Babs on Twitter. Get his bi-weekly newsletter. Do so when you email Mike and subscribe. Real easy to do. Mike B at Herd at Sports. .com. Babbers, a lot to write about as you took in last night. Great baseball game. Nebraska fans right now reeling, wringing their hands because of who beat Nebraska in dramatic fashion last night. The Grand Salami, Mike, put Creighton in the lead for good. Ninth inning heroics.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, Nebraska's bullpen is just having issues. I really thought Nebraska had that game under control when it jumped out with got the six runs. But, man, you got to give Creighton credit. Great team. You come through and win a game in that situation. It's just crushing for Nebraska. And now what? That's five of the last six Nebraska's lost.
You know, Nebraska, Mike, had this disrespect kind of aura about him. I'm not saying that's from Will or the team or the players, but the fan base was like, all right, what are they going to be ranked? What are they going to be ranked? Well, you get ranked, you win 10 in a row, and suddenly it goes the other way, and you're in a bad stretch here midweek. Now, to be fair, it's not your normal directional school midweek, but your last three Tuesday nights have gone the wrong way. Creighton is absolutely more geared up for you. The first meeting 2 weeks ago, you lose in Lawrence last week, and then here comes Creighton again that just kept at it. And is this just a reality right now with Nebraska's bullpen, or do you think they can get better? What can Coach Childress and Coach Bolt do between now and Omaha time here with Nebraska baseball?
Well, I don't know what you can do. You just got to keep plugging along. I mean, the expectations really rose when you win 10 games in a row, and now it's just like, you know, what do we do? Well, you got to stay the course. You got to rely on the guys that you thought you could rely on and expect them to step up. And you still got plenty of time in conference play. You can turn things around, but it's getting more and more difficult. Fortunately, you've got a home series to against Maryland to kind of try to regroup. You got to get the job done against Maryland. That's where you start, and you start with Friday night's game and go from there one game at a time. But you got to get things turned around in the conference, where you still have an opportunity.
Is this physical or is it mental, or are we talking combo when it comes to turning the arms out of the bullpen? Do you think there's some doubt that's crept in to some of the pitchers that are asked to come in? Because it went sideways. We just go back to Rutgers Friday night, right? It goes sideways after you get incredible starting pitching. And then Sunday, you don't handle the deal, but Will's like, all right, time to reset and get going, because he didn't play awful baseball against Rutgers. Just didn't go your way sometimes. But now this is, well, it's working on turning the corner from being a trend.
You know, I think it's more mental than physical, although I know that just looking at the numbers as the relievers came in last night, there's a concern about the number of walks that they're giving up in keeping the ball around the plate, which has an effect on whether somebody hits you or not. If you're walking too many people, then it kind of gets in your head. And I think that's where the issue is. It's mental, and you got to get that squared away. You know, you had that winning streak, it's probably mental there. You feel good about where you are. Maybe as the winning streak gets along, you sort of slack off or something. But now you're in a situation where you've got to turn it around mentally, I think, is the key to success, because Nebraska has the talent to get the job done, but the bullpen just hasn't done that.
Nebraska was about 3 feet from extras last night, Mike, in the ninth. The offense came back, a couple of big-time shots to the wall, but the difference is the ball stayed in the park. What was your reaction at Haymarket? What was the oohs and ahs? What was the juice like before it left when Dieter crushed that grand slam? That kid's hitting 500 with the bases loaded.
You know, I didn't go out, so I don't know what the crowd was like there. You know, the Huskers are have made the fans, I think, frustrated and sort of hesitant to wonder what's going to happen. I really thought the inning where Columbus made that tremendous catch at first base, I thought that was the turning point, and the energy there, I thought, would carry Nebraska through. But, you know, again, it just didn't happen.
Mike Babcock's with us from Hail Varsity at MD Babs on Twitter. Well, Nebraska will try and regroup against Maryland, weekend series against the Terps at Haymarket. So at least Nebraska's home for an extended homestay to try and get right. Spring football yesterday, Mike, as you heard from Coach Rule, you heard from Coach McGuire, you heard from a handful of wideouts, Lloyd, Nayer, and Bullock. With Matt Rule, I want to spend a moment here, Mike, and talk a little bit about just some of your impressions with Rule this spring, year two, the positivity, but also the reality from Rule with how he goes about kind of toughening the team up. Practice style is something he's focused in on, and it is not for the weak-hearted.
You know, one of the things that he said that I really appreciated, I think the players appreciate, he said, anyone who plays for me plays for life, meaning that even guys that have transferred out, he's kept in touch with their coaches, with them. I really think that he is a player's first type of coach. And, that's reinforced, I think, every time we have the opportunity to have media availability with Coach Rule. Even talking about the transfer portal, he said whatever issues there are there, they aren't on the players. They're on, coaches. He's accountable to his players. It's a very player-oriented approach, I guess. And I'm being redundant here, but that's the thing that always impresses me when we listen to Rule. And you know, that doesn't mean that he doesn't expect a lot out of the players. He's very demanding, and I think the players understand that. And I think that's a reason for optimism. You know, that's why folks can think that things are going to go well in 2024. Because the schedule is set up for that, and I think the approach that Rule takes with his players has this program going in the right direction to the point at which I think they're going to get a turnaround and at least be bowl eligible this season.
Mike, I think Matt Rule's very authentic and sincere, and I think because he communicates so well. And he puts in a lot of time with the guys, not just to, you know, the All-Americans or the perceived All-Americans, but he kind of reminds me, and I'd go to games with my dad, and sometimes, especially on the road, and for whatever reason, it was Kansas. So it was, you know, Lincoln South for a lot of years in Lawrence. And you get there and everyone's stretching, right? Remember Nebraska'd stretch out on the field on their side of the 50, and T.O.'d go around and just like slap people on the shoulder pad or shake their hand. And you'd see guys, I mean, all 85 or however many were suited up on the road, just start smiling because T.O. came over and said what's up to him. Now, I haven't seen a practice, but I get that same sort of vibe from Rhule with how personal it is for him. And I think you can push guys harder, Mike, if they know you really care about him. You're not just a dude that can run for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And again, taking the media availability, there has not been a question about a player, regardless of who the player is, that Rhule hasn't been able to answer. And you get the sense that he has a connection with that player. I mean, I really believe that, you know, it's difficult, but that's one of the things that always impressed me about Tom, same as you, is that he knew his players on a personal level. And I think that Matt Rhule is the same kind of coach. You know, he knows all of his players. He understands that and the importance of that. And I think it just makes for a better team when you have that kind of a coach in charge. Is like, hey, regardless of where I am on the depth chart, he knows me, he knows about me, and you know, that's important. And he, you know, you ask him about any player and he'll tell you the positives about that player, again, regardless of where they are on the depth chart.
It's Mike Babcock with us here, Hail Varsity Radio at MD Babs on Twitter. Read Mike with Hail Varsity, heard at Sports, get his bi-weekly newsletter and get signed up for that. Mike B at herdatsports.com is where you can subscribe. Send that email in. We'll have more with Mike. We're up against a hard break, so we'll spend time with Babbers here on the other side for a couple of minutes. Some of those comments from Coach Rhule and Dylan Raiola on bussing with the boys. Next segment, don't forget Jabba Chamberlain on the State of Husker Baseball coming up here a little bit after 5. And we'll catch up with Evan Bland. Reminder about getting buckled up. Use your seatbelt. It saves lives. It prevents injuries only if properly worn. Make it click. A message from the NDOT Highway Safety Office. So Dion checks in on Husker baseball. I'm so sick and disgusted with losing all sports to that I very much hated in high school. Dion. Mr. Snitley, Brian checks in from the Boulder Peace Treaty. Again, if you get out to Colorado, Elijah, when you leave this weekend,
I will commemorate the Boulder.
You will need to commemorate where that bar tab and more so the tap was opened back up for Nebraska fans after the Colorado game. More with Mike Babcock on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Mike, as we wind down, but I want to get your take. We're a little more than a week away from the NFL draft. What should Nebraska's expectations be when it comes to the NFL draft as far as kids per year from Nebraska going into the league? It seemed like, on an average, you had, I don't know, 4 to 6 guys drafted every year for a lot of years. And quite honestly, you had guys that started go off to the draft. Their backups would then get drafted. I think of the Mike Browns and Mike Minners and Velans of the world, or I think of the Rush and You part of things with Wistrom, Kroll, Broderick Thomas, Neil Smith. I mean, go through a lot of Charlie's defensive lines and edge guys. I mean, there was just a riches of talent there. We move forward here to 2024. Going to be light in the draft probably for Nebraska, but moving forward, that's an emphasis for Coach Rhule. He wants to get guys to the league.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things he says is that, you know, he wants to help them. I think that two guys that could have gone this year didn't. Ben Scott and Bryce Benhart, I think they made a good decision to come back for one more year. To prepare them for the NFL. I think it is going to be light for Nebraska, the draft this year. But I think as you go move down the line, I think you're going to see a more opportunity for Nebraska guys to be in the NFL draft. Again, because of the approach of Matt Rhule and his assistant coaches.
Is there a number for you, though? I mean, is there a sweet spot, 5 or 6 a year, either between draft and free agency?
You know, I'm not smart enough to put a number on it.
No, it's fine.
You know, your first priority is to get guys here that can be successful at the collegiate level, whatever that takes. And sometimes that's different than the NFL. You know, sometimes you get go back to Tom Osborne. An offensive lineman like Aaron Taylor was not an NFL type guy, but he came here and won the Outland Trophy and was an All-American and played both center and played guard. He fit the system. The first concern is to get players that fit your system and then work with them and encourage them, prepare them for the NFL. So I don't really have a number. I don't know. I don't know that you could do that and still be successful on the field as a college team.
It's Mike Babcock. Mike, as we say goodbye, what's coming up with the newsletter?
The next one up has a little bit to do with the offensive line. It might be a little bit redundant, but you know how redundant I am when it comes to the offensive line. That's important. And, you know, talking to Donovan Raiola the other day really put some perspective on how they approach it.
Well, you get a good line, you get a good team, you have happy fans, right? So it's all good. Mike Babcock with us. Babbers, we'll talk soon. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Thanks for having me.